Hi, I'm Joe Feeks, editor of Pig Health Today, and with me is Dr. Adam Moser. He is a veterinarian with the neuroscience program at Michigan State University. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
Now, I did a double take when I saw your affiliation. You're with the neuroscience program, yet you specialize in gastrointestinal disease. Could you explain that, please?
Sure. I think when we think about neuroscience, we think of the brain mostly, but there's several faculty within the neuroscience program that study gastrointestinal enteric nervous system disorders. And that's a pretty big area in my research is studying how the intestinal nervous system becomes altered by stress. And the thing about the enteric nervous system, which they call it, or the brain in your gut, there are just as many neurons in your gastrointestinal tract than there are in your spinal cord. So it's It's a very richly innervated organ, and the nervous system controls so many important functions in the gut, from absorption, secretion, barrier defense, immune function. So that has been a major part of my research, is trying to understand how stressors, whether they're in animals or models for humans, alter the development of the nervous system in the gut and how that in turn translates into health.
Well, we often hear in both human medicine and certainly in swine medicine that stress can bring on disease. Why is that?
Well, that's what we're trying to figure out, is to really try to understand the basic mechanisms by which a stressor causes disease. And stress is a pretty broad term. There's several different types of stressors that can influence an animal's physiology. They could be psychological or social stressors, but they can also be other types of stressors, such as physical, environmental stressors. And pretty much they all have a very similar impact on the animal, in that it disrupts the normal homeostatic mechanisms or homeostasis in an organism that can have adverse effects on the immune system, on the gut system, enteric nervous system, and that in turn can, those normal defense properties that are there become broken down, and it increases the susceptibility to disease.
Now, I've heard it said that if you have a healthy gut, you're going to have a healthy animal. Do you agree with that?
100%. Just because the gut is such an important barrier and regulator of systemic immune function. We know the gastrointestinal tract represents the largest interface between the outside world and the animal, or in the human. That surface area that lines the gastrointestinal tract, it has more surface area than our skin. So that's the primary connection between us and the outside world. And other parts of the importance of the intestine is that it also contains the largest immune system within the whole body, in the mucosal immune system. So anything that happens at the gut level, it's well known that there are systemic effects. There are things that happen at the gut level that can affect every other organ, including the central nervous system as well. So I'm a little biased, but I do think the gastrointestinal tract is the root of a lot of health.
Now, I would imagine, and you've probably looked at this pretty closely, but I would imagine that weaning has got to be one of the most stressful periods in a pig's life. Walk us through that. When a pig is being weaned, how does that affect its intestinal health?
Sure. And that is one of my primary areas of research in my laboratory is understanding weaning stress, because it is probably the most stressful event that an animal undergoes in production. Mm-hmm. And it's very stressful because, one, it's at a very early age in development. The animals, during the time of weaning, a lot of development is still going on, especially in the gastrointestinal tract and the immune system. So during this time, the animal is exposed to a number of pretty profound stressors, which include separation from the mom and the sow, often disruption of litter mates, mm-hmm. transportation, long distances to halfway across the country, new environments, new pathogens, new food source. Mm-hmm. So it's a pretty traumatic stress that occurs in an animal during a very important developmental period, and that's why the weaning period is often linked with a lot of disease.
And let's talk about the weaning period. What is the optimal weaning period as far as you're concerned? How many days?
That is a good question. I mean, it's a really difficult question because there's a lot of factors that can involve in that. If I was just looking at gut health and gut integrity, I would say the later the better. We know a lot about the development of the gastrointestinal tract now. We know that in pigs, the immune and gut barrier systems are fully developed at about 3 months of age. And coincidentally, that's the time in nature when an animal in the wild, in the pig, would naturally wean themselves from their sow. So it's when their immune system and when their GI tract is ready to make that weaning transition. But in commercial production, this weaning age is 2 to 3 weeks of age. So it's quite a significant deviation from normal weaning process. So that creates a lot of stress and a lot of activation of the systems, the immune and intestinal systems during a time when this is really meant for developmental period.
So there are a lot of gastrointestinal diseases in pigs. What, in your mind, are the ones that are perhaps most linked to stress in these young animals?
I don't know if I can name a particular disease because pigs would be more susceptible to, because I look at stress and weaning associated stressors as risk factors. Mm-hmm. So what they're going to do is weaning stress is going to break down barriers to the gut, and they're going to be immune barriers, epithelial barriers that are normally there to prevent pathogens from gaining access to the body and to suppress their activity. But when there's a stressor like that, all these systems become compromised. So any potential opportunistic pathogen, it could be a virus, it could be a bacteria, mm-hmm. It could just be toxins, feed antigens that are in the lumen, now get access to the immune system and start causing activation or suppression, and that could lead to disease. So if you look at stressors in production, they're pretty much any type of stressor can predispose an animal to any type of infection, regardless of the nature of that infection.
Now, in the past, pork producers have leaned pretty heavily on feed medications or feed antibiotics to manage a lot of enteric diseases in young pigs and grow-finished pigs, for that matter. They're getting away from that to some extent because of the new veterinary feed directive requiring veterinary involvement with any antibiotic that is deemed medically important by FDA. Mm-hmm. There are some other antibiotics that don't fall into that category that can still be used. What are your thoughts on this situation, and how could it affect stress and the level of enteric disease we see in pigs?
Right. As you had mentioned, the use of antimicrobials are effective because they're able to reduce a stressor in the environment, whether it's a pathogen challenge or microbial loads that animals see. So that is very helpful. However, when you take that sort of protection away, I could foresee an increase in the susceptibility of animals to disease, mm-hmm. Because they will be exposed to the same stressors now, but now they're not going to have that protective layer of antimicrobials on board. So that is expected to result in more disease, and so. What that means is that we are going to have to find either ways to find alternative strategies, whether they're alternative antimicrobial alternative products. Mm-hmm. But what I believe is really critical is to continue to understand the gut, the basic aspects of gut physiology and how these change within the environment. Because once we know more information at that deeper level, then we're going to be able to potentially design more targeted therapies or preventative strategies that are going to be more effective in preventing disease in these situations.
Now, I know in the poultry industry, you know, they have a lot of problems with things like coccidiosis and necrotic enteritis, but there's been a big push in poultry to get away from using antibiotics. They are using some alternative medications and things like that. Do you see the pork industry going in the same direction, or does that just not seem feasible from a welfare and performance standpoint?
I think definitely. I think it's already begun to move. People are looking at ways to have antibiotic-free farms or mm-hmm. production systems. And they're developing, you know, ways and strategies to work with that, because I think in general the goal of veterinarians are to keep animals healthy and keep the welfare at an optimal level, and it's also antibiotics are expensive as well. So I think this could potentially be a good thing if we can find effective strategies that that are alternatives to antibiotics to continue to maintain the same level of health in the animals.
Is there anything that can be done in the care of the sow, whether it be through vaccination or medications, to ensure better gut health in those baby pigs?
That's an interesting question. And it's an area that I don't think has received as much attention as directly working with the animal. We know now that factors in gestation can impact the offspring. Now, a lot of this work has been done in other species, even in humans, but we do know that what is experienced by the mother in the fetus in utero can shape the development of the offspring. So yes, so once, if there are strategies, if we can find out what's potentially impairing development or immune function, then we can potentially go and intervene at the sow level as well.
And lastly, we've talked about medical interventions, but what are some other things that pork producers can do to ensure that these pigs get off to a, well, I won't say stress-free start, but how can they lower the level of stress in pigs to ensure that they get off to a better start?
Well, number one would be weaning age, increasing weaning age. And we know that that's not just a simple solution, because there are many factors that go into increasing weaning age that are going to determine what age you can wean at. And there's also factors associated with the economics and the diminishing returns. It's not feasible to wean a pig at 3 months of age nowadays. It just wouldn't make sense economically. But increasing the weaning age, an average wean age as much as possible, is from what our research experience tells us is a very important factor. The other thing to think about is that stressors are often additive, and I'd mentioned all these different stressors that happen at the time of weaning, and each one of those stressors compounds each other. So if there are ways to alleviate one, two, you know, three of the stressors, you're going to see benefits there as well, because it's all a collection of stressors. So just paying attention to that. And also just having the understanding about that this is a very critical period in gut development for this animal. Mm-hmm. So anything that happens during this time is going to have long-lasting impacts on how the animal's gut will develop and perform for the rest of their life. So now is the critical window. It's very difficult to not pay attention here and have adverse experiences or changes in the gut early and then try to reverse those later in life. That's more difficult. So just the mindset of understanding that early is the time to intervene and protect the gut.
And what's next in your research?
We're continuing to really delve into basic mechanisms of changes in disease. Mm-hmm. And we are looking at other factors that in early life can shape or predict how the gut is going to develop. And a few of these factors are specific immune cells that we've been studying. They're called mast cells, most well known for allergy and allergic disease, but these cells are also very activated in response to stressors and can mediate some of the intestinal injury. Mm-hmm. So we're interested in how mast cells are activated in the gut. Also, some other factors that haven't been really looked at in terms of gut health and gut function are sex differences. Differences between gilts versus boars and barrows, even at very young ages, because we're seeing that there are pretty dramatic differences in how the animal responds to stress based on their sex. Female animals are more susceptible to stress-induced GI dysfunction, which is similar to humans as well. Some of the most common stress-related gastrointestinal disorders in humans, females are more at risk and males are more protected. So we're really interested in understanding what makes a male resilient to gut stress and what makes a female more vulnerable, because I think we can learn a lot. And the other factor is that we touched upon before is what about even before this time, looking at gestational factors? Are there factors that, such as stress that can then translate the impact onto their offspring, whether it's through epigenetics or new pathways that we're now continuing to learn more about and how that's going to affect the early and then lifetime function and health of the animal.
One final question. One of the criticisms that we hear about the use of antibiotics is they say, well, producers aren't using them in sick animals. They're using them to promote growth. Do antibiotics actually promote growth, or are they creating a healthier gut, which in turn allows the animal to reach its full genetic potential?
That's a great question, because I think we really don't know 100% how antibiotics work. We know what they do in terms of reducing bacterial loads and limiting pathogens and their specificity against pathogens. But the effect of antimicrobial growth components or factors in actually impacting growth performance is still up for speculation. Mm-hmm. It could be reducing the stress of bacteria, it could be altering compositions of bacteria in the flora, competing for nutrients supplies in the gut. It could be influencing the immune system. So I think it's probably all of the above. All of it is most likely taking pressure off a lot of these systems, so that the immune system doesn't have to be continually active, which requires a lot of energy to maintain an active immune system. And now this energy can maybe be diverted towards growth performance and nutrient utilization. And to summarize, I think it's the mechanism of antimicrobial growth promotion is still of speculation and up for discussion, but I think we have just some ideas on how it works.
Well, it's a complex area of the pig's body, and I'm glad that you're looking at the research, because it really does impact them for a lifetime, doesn't it?
It does, yep.
We've been talking to Adam Moser. He is a veterinarian at Michigan State University. Again, Adam, thank you so much.
Thank you.